What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you so much. As always, first things first, follow me on Twitter, at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards making the shit sound buttery, Ben Shim, at I Am Data Base, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit, at Kinda Neat. Super official. No longer That's Kinda Neat, it's just Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/That's Kinda Neat. If you are not listening on your cellular device or streaming and you're listening on a computer, you're doing it wrong. You should download the podcast app and search for Kinda Neat and subscribe. Be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a comment. Tell us about what you like about the show. Tell us who you want to see on the show. Every once in a while, I'll search Kinda Neat on there and just read you guys' comments and reviews, and I appreciate them so greatly. I have been trying to, like, think of stuff to talk about in these intros, and so I've been taking, like, little notes and snippets of my life. I don't know how this will play out, but like I told you in the last one, I haven't really been doing too much because I've been concentrating. Or when I say haven't been doing too much, I mean I haven't been going out much. I've been very hermetic lately because I've been working on launching the website, the photo website for Dom. All the shoots that we've been on for the last 3 years, I've been catching up on retouching those, so it's been very strenuous process of pretty much staying in the house and working on that and just retouching hundreds of images and then going to the gym and not doing much else. And due to that, the other day, I felt like I was almost on the verge of a panic attack for some reason. I woke up, I don't know why, I just had like crazy anxiety. Like I felt weird all day. I was like a little lightheaded. My eye was kind of twitchy and I had that sinking feeling in my stomach. Like, you know, the feeling when you feel like maybe when you think you're going to lose your job or you think your girl is going to break up with you. I didn't think that's not the case. But just like you feel like some imminent terrible shit is going to happen. I had that sinking feeling in my stomach the whole day. Then also on top of that, like I said, I was like kind of lightheaded and weird. I don't know what it was. I was just like, I call my mom like, dude, I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack. The last time I felt like this was like not since I was in high school or something and had some crazy test that I thought I was going to fail. And like, I was like, I just fucking feel weird. And she's like, well, do you think it's because you're not saving for your future? And I was like, Jesus Christ, Mom, don't stack more stress onto me when I'm telling you that I'm stressed out. Like, no, Susie Orman, I'm not panicking because I'm not preparing for my future. I'm fucking just having a weird anxiety riddled day. So anyway, I remember going into the gym that day and I'll warm up by getting on one of those like spinning class cycles because they're like fixed gear bikes. And so I'm like spinning on the fixed gear bike and it's in the dark and outside of the little spin class thing, because nobody else is in there, there's this older dude like kind of rolling around on one of those ab balls. And for some reason, the guy looked kind of like David Crosby. Like he's like this old looking dude with a bald mullet type thing. You know, he's got like the George Costanza mullet. Or no, it's like the Gallagher mullet. You know what I mean? Where it's like bald on top but long on the sides. And he's like laying on the ab ball. Picture one of those big ass rubber balls next to a wall, right? The guy's laying on it with his head facing away from the wall. And then he's got his legs pitched up on the wall, almost like in birthing, you know, like when you put somebody's legs up, like they're going to give birth. I guess, yeah, Ben saying missionary, but no, it's almost like he had his legs up against the wall, straddled upwards. And so his legs are spread and his knees are like at 90 degrees and he's kind of like doing sit-ups or something, but and kind of rolling around. And all of a sudden he just fucking falls off one side, like pretty hard, because it was like a bigger ab ball, and he rolls off onto his shoulder, and then he kind of just he doesn't think that anyone saw him because he doesn't know that I'm in the dark room watching him, and he just kind of like lays there on his side and pretends like he was stretching his leg the whole time, and nobody noticed. Like he lifts his leg up and kind of grabs his leg and pulls it upwards like he's stretching his hamstring or something, and just like did it very nonchalant, like no one was like no one saw him, but if they did see him, they would think that he was supposed to be there on the ground stretching. And I just thought that was the most hilarious thing. So I'm watching him try to like play off the fact that he just fell off an ab roll ball. Whatever the fuck you call those things. What else happened? I posted about this on Facebook. So if you follow me on Facebook, you'll already have heard this story. But this is a true story. The other day, I was like, I went to go get gas. And I always say that I feel like the reason that if anyone thinks that I'm good at social media, the reason that I'm good at social media is because I can fucking make the most mundane story sound like it was eventful. So I go to get gas, which is a menial task, very fucking boring and arbitrary, and you have to do it all the time. I go to get gas. As I go to put the pump into my car, this guy walks over, like, just fucking is heading straight towards my car with a paper towel in one hand and a squeegee in the other, and he looks bummy. He's like, got a dirty shirt. He's got jeans that don't fit him right. His facial hair is unkempt and unshaven, and his hair's not done. And he's walking right towards my car, and I instantly think homeless dude. Just to make sure that you guys know that I'm not a racist, this is an old white dude. Just want to let you guys know that, because I'm sure some of you guys are picturing that it was a black dude that was homeless, and no, that's you being a racist, not me. This is an old white dude, right? I look at him, I go, hey, I wave my hand, I go, no thanks, man, I'm good, because I think that he's walking towards my car to clean my windshield. And I didn't want him to do that. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I didn't have any cash, because my car is dirty as fuck. Because if you guys remember, I got hit, like I told you, I got hit on January 12th or January 11th or something. Like, I got hit. My bumper's still ripped off. And so I haven't fucking washed my car, because, like, why am I going to wash my car that's, like, got the bumper ripped off? Because, for one, if I take it through a car wash, who knows what other pieces of shit will fly off and, like, how much paint is going to get scraped off and shit already. And then for two, when I take it into the car place, they're going to fix the bumper and they're going to wash the car for me for free. So, like, why waste that $20? I'm going to wash my car. No thanks. Anyway, so my car is filthy. So I assume the guy's coming over to wash my windshield wiper. And so I say, no thanks, man. I don't need that. And he looks at me all crazy. And then he just, like, walks, like, he like walks as almost as if he's going to bump into me. He goes, excuse me. And I'm like, what? And then he walks off. There's a fucking Lexus behind me, the next pump. And he goes and washes that windshield and starts the car and drives off. Now, to make it – like, this wasn't some rich dude in a Lexus. This was an old-ass Lexus. Like, it was a beat-up – like, it was like a late 90s Lexus probably. So it wasn't like a brand-new car. And, like, this was some rich dude that just looked homeless, or, like, you know, I paid a lot of money to look this broke. It just happened to be that he had a car that was a Lexus. But it was just hilarious to me because I, like, totally assumed that it was a homeless dude. And really he was just like, nah, fool, you're an asshole. I'm going to wash my own windshield. And I felt so awkward and so bad. And that's the end of that story. Today I had a fun day as well. It's a long night. It was a long night. Last night I went to one of the hand parties. I was working and stuff. Saw some kids that recognized me and were very nice to me and said very nice things about me and my music. So if you're listening to this podcast, thank you for coming to the party and thank you for being nice to me. I appreciate it. And that dude Keith 8 played and did the Itchy Ma song like twice and shit, because, like, you know, that's his song and That's the song. So they played it a bunch. And it was fun. It was a riotous time. And I got home and fell asleep around 4 a.m. And then Dom and the kids and his wife came up this morning because we, like I said, I've been working on the website. So had to exchange some hard drive shit. We went to Venice. We went to Venice Beach for two reasons. Like, I would never take a normal touristy person to Venice Beach that was, like, just coming to visit me, because I'm like, that's not the part of L.A. that I want to see, and that's not the part of L.A. that I think my friends would enjoy. But my little nephew Gavin, who's 7, he's, like, a little skate ripper. Like, he's getting really good at skateboarding already. It's pretty crazy when you see, like, videos of him skating and shit. I'm always like, oh my God, like, that's insane. He's dropping into like 13-foot half pipes and shit like that. It's insane. He's a huge Dogtown and Z-Boys fan. Like, he's 7 years old and he idolizes Jay Adams. Like, when Jay Adams died, he was so sad. He's like, oh my God, Jay Adams died. Like, he loves Jay Adams. And so I'm like, oh, I'll take him to Venice. That's like Jay Adams' old stomping ground. Go to the skate park. They went to the skate park and ripped around and stuff. But it turns out, unknowing to me, that Gavin, the 7-year-old, is also a huge reality show fan of the Venice Beach Freak Show. I don't know the show. I've not seen it. But there's a reality show about the Venice Beach Freak Show. And so he's like, Uncle Lee, this is Venice Beach? He's like, I actually watch a show about freaks that live here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's like a freak show right now. She's like, oh my God, can we go to that? So after they go and go to the skate park for like a couple hours, it's hilarious too, because the 3-year-old Devin, he skates too. And so, you know, the Venice Beach skate park is, there's actually a lot of good kids that are good people that skate there, but it gets surrounded by tourists who are straight fucking kooks that don't know shit about skateboarding, don't know shit about California, don't know anything about anything. They're all like Midwesterners and people from wherever. And it's spring break, so it was extra packed. And so every time Devin would like drop into the little snake run and kind of roll back and forth, like people were like passing out from how cute it was. Like, oh my God, look at how little he is rolling back. Oh my God. Like, he's going to be in everybody's Venice Beach vacation Facebook post this week. So after we skate, they eat some lunch. We go eat some lunch and then we walk down to the freak show. And I'll tell you what, I was grossed out. You know, there's the guy who like puts the nail in his nose and swallows a sword. And there's the girl that like sits down and gets shocked by 1,000 volts of electricity and yada, yada. And, you know, they had like the littlest dude in America there who like Devin, the 3-year-old, was like half a foot taller than him and shit. These kids were like legitimately starstruck. They're like, oh my God. Like, it was their first time seeing people that they had seen on TV in real life. And Gavin was like speechless. He was so stoked. And so here I thought that he would be excited that he was going to Jay Adams' old stomping ground. And what he took away from it was that he got to see the Venice Beach Freak Show. Either way, it was fun. I'm exhausted. It's been a long day. We got the new homie, Marvel Alexander, into the studio. Man, this dude, this is hilarious. I was cracking up for a lot of this podcast. He's a great storyteller, and it was a good conversation. Had a lot of fun with this one. I really like this dude. He's got a project out called Don't Die Yet that's doing well on SoundCloud and stuff. He's also a beat guy. He's a producer behind the scenes, too. He actually produced Shabba Ranks for ASAP Ferg. I didn't even know that when he came in. I've just heard the project and I like the project, and he's worked with some people that I like. And so if you're a beat scene dude, he's got beats from like Sango, he's got beats from Catronata on there, he's got features from Wiki, from Rat King. It's just a good project, and it's kind of, I was telling him that I think it's almost kind of like a more listenable version of like Death Grips, kind of, where he's like kind of got this aggressive rap style and he's turnt a lot of the time, and the beats are kind of like jarring and noisy, but at the same time it's a little more approachable than that stuff. So if you're into that sort of thing, check out Marvel Alexander. And without further ado, let's get into our conversation with him. This is Kinda Neat with Marvel Alexander. So you've been in here before?
I have been in here before.
Why were you in here?
You know, the homies, Rat King, were in here doing an interview with Shots Fired, with No Can Do.
James and Jeff. Holler. Yeah. Holler.
And it was a pretty cool day. It was a pretty impactful day because, you know, I kind of like been in contact with them a little bit. I met them at a show, I believe.
What show did you meet them at? You remember?
I really don't remember. I met Rat King at a show. I forgot what show it was, to be honest. I've been to so many.
Yeah.
That was like the first time I actually got to like hang out. Actually, story change.
Okay.
So No Can Do hit me up to just chill. And
just out of the blue?
Yeah, because he was like, I remember specifically now, I hit him up, asked him, because I just moved to LA.
Yeah.
And I asked him like where the Jamaican restaurants was at, because, you know, I'm from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
He got Jamaican restaurants in his neighborhood.
Right.
Because James and I go way back. I don't know if you know this, but we've mm-hmm. known each other since 2003.
Right.
He and I. So we've been friends for 12 years. And he used to live on out in South Central on like 57th and mm-hmm. Western. I remember one time like coming down to visit, and we were like literally trying to find Jamaican food, and we walked into a couple of spots that just like seemed so suspect. Like,
word.
They were like empty ass restaurants, and somebody would walk out the back like kind of like on some "what do you want" type of shit, and we're like, maybe these aren't really restaurants that we're walking
maybe
into.
Maybe these are fronts.
Yeah. So anyway, so you're asking them where the Jamaican restaurants are.
Yeah. So I hit him up because like, you know, I was like, where does Jamaican restaurant? He's like, yo, there's one by this spot that I used to stay at, or if he stayed there currently, is in Leimert Park.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's go. So we go, we get some food or whatever, we chop it up, because he was like kind of one of the first people I like met when I came to L.A., because I got booked for Low End like maybe like 2 months after I moved here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Who hit you up about that, him?
I think it was him. It was him and actually it was It was Gas Lamp.
Okay.
Gas Lamp. I went to a low-end theory, and I, like, chopped it up with Gas Lamp, and I was just telling him, like, the kind of stuff that I worked on and, like, what I was doing. And he was like, oh, man, we got to get you down here. I was like, oh, tight. Like, fuck yeah, let's do it. And then he hooked it up. And then I met...
He'd never heard your shit before?
Yeah, never heard my shit before.
It was just, like, on the strength.
Yeah, like, because, like, I produced on Shabba for Ferg.
Okay.
I told him about that record. And then he's like, yo, give me, shoot me an email, send me some stuff. And I
Doug, I didn't even know. Here's the thing, full transparency. I don't know anything about your production credits other than the project that I've heard. And I was like, oh, this shit's tight.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that you produced Shabba. That's tight. Or on Shabba.
Yeah, me and my homie Snugsworth. Shout out to Snugsworth. Me and him did...
shout out to Snugsworth. That just sounds like the most comfortable name ever.
It is very cozy name.
Right?
He's a very cozy dude.
Yeah.
Pause. But
wait, let's skip the... Let's not get into that yet. We'll get into like producing that way later in this.
Right.
But just tell me, you were telling Gas Amp that you produced on that, and then he goes like... Let's...
Yeah, and he gave me his card. He's like, yo, email me, send me some stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, for sure. And I was working on an instrumental project at the time. We're just finishing it up. And that I never put out, but I sent him records off of it. He's like, yo, this shit is crazy. We got to get you down here. Like, we got to like get you a set. I'm like, yo, let's hook it up.
Yeah.
And then like, I think like 2 months later, I like had a show at Low End, and I met No Can Do from being,
yeah,
you know, around.
Who'd you play with?
Who
else played that night? Do you remember?
Damn. Speak played that
night. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Speak. Longtime friend of the show as well.
I met Speak for the first time there. We're friends now, too. I met him there. And I forgot who else was there.
Yeah.
But I just remember him
I remember that night. I was supposed to go to that show that Speak was playing. And I, for certain, I think I was out of town or something that night. So I would have met you. It was a close encounter. We just missed out. Yeah.
So fast forward back to the Jamaican restaurant.
Yeah.
So we're eating food. And he's like, oh, shit. I got an interview to do. I was like, oh, damn. Well, I mean, we can just go. And he's like, all right, just come. So we go, and then he's interviewing Rat King. And I think I reached out to him, or like, we were familiar with each other. I forgot how, but we were familiar with each other. And I was like, I never knew what Rat King looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard the music. I never seen a video or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm just chilling in there. I didn't know who they were. And they're like, yeah, Rat King. I was like, oh shit, Rat King. I was like, yo, it's Marvel. It was like, oh, yo, what's up? And then we kind of like, you know, got linked up that way. And then we leave from that spot, and I'm heading home. I'm walking down the street, and I see Childish Gambino and his manager, Fam, walking down the street.
Here?
Yeah.
In this neighborhood?
On this street.
No shit.
They don't live too far from here, but...
How do you know where they live, you fucking creep?
Because, you know, we'll get to that. But, so I'm walking down the street and I see him. I'm like, oh shit, is that Childish motherfucking Gambino?
Yeah.
So I stopped him. I was like,
is that Community's Donald Glover?
So I stopped him. I was like, man, it's crazy. Like, I just moved out here. I told him my whole, like, basically, like, life story. And he was like, yo, dope. He's like, take Fam's info. And I was like, Fam's his manager. I was like, all right, tight. So I text Fam, and I've been like, I was like sending him music, sending him beats. And then like one day he's like, yo, come to the crib and like play some stuff. I was like, okay. And he shot me the address, and I just went over there. And like I was in LA for 4 months, and I'm like in like Childish Gambino's like condo playing them records with him.
More has happened to you in the 4 months you've been here than the fucking 10 years I've been here.
Word. So that's tight. It was a cool experience.
And
man,
it all happened because of jerk chicken.
Right, exactly.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And that's kind of like the story of my life. Of everything that ever happened to me, like positively in LA, has been like a chain of events that led to something.
So
great.
Is it safe to say that you are the Forrest Gump of hip hop?
I am the Forrest Gump of hip hop. For real.
Speaking of, you know, in the Forrest Gump book, I've not read it, but I heard that he's like kind of portrayed as like a giant, a gentle giant in that book, which when you walked in the door, I was very surprised. You are fucking enormous.
I am a gentle giant.
How tall are you?
I am 6'9".
Shut the fuck up. You're 6'9"?
Yeah, I am 6'9".
Holy shit. I was guessing like maybe 6'6". That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, you're a big motherfucker too. Like, what, you gotta weigh like 300, but not like not fat.
I'm like a strong 275.
Damn, because that's crazy, because I'm only 6 foot and I weigh 220. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's mainly between the legs, that's why. I'm kidding. That's a terrible douchey joke.
Word.
Yeah. All right. So you're from New Jersey, you said.
Yeah, New Jersey.
What part of New Jersey?
I'm from Hackensack, New Jersey, Bergen County.
What's the story with Hackensack, New Jersey?
Hackensack, New Jersey. Wow. It's essentially like a suburb of New York, to be honest.
Yeah. So a lot of people commute in and go work in the city or something?
A lot of people work in the city from Jersey, because it's a lot cheaper to live there than like Manhattan.
Is it close to like Newark?
It is close to Newark. It's like 20 minutes away from Newark.
Yeah, yeah.
It's north of New Jersey. It's like the George Washington Bridge that basically like links New Jersey to like uptown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Is like maybe like...
Is that the one that Chris Christie like shut down?
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm into my like Daily Show politics shit.
Daily Show. It's really close to New York, so like I guess our culture is very much influenced by like New York culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. Actually, you know Dash and Wretch?
Yeah, I'm a big Wretch fan.
Yeah, Wretch is actually like from Dash and Wretch are from Hackensack, New Jersey.
Oh no shit.
Yeah, we're from the same city. We went to the same high school.
Yeah, were you guys like close to the same age?
No, nah, I'm a little bit older than those guys, but you know, we went to the same school. He's like really good friends with this dude that he actually lives behind me.
Yeah.
It was a funny story. Like I was home and his name is Charlie. He's like Wretch's friend.
Uh-huh.
And Wretch was back there. They were like smoking and shit in the backyard. And I was like, yo, what's up? And he's like, yo. And I like went to the fence, dapped him up. And I was like, yo, let's play some shit. They hopped the fence to my backyard.
Yeah.
And we just went in my basement and just like listened to music and shit.
Yeah.
But that's like how like close, like Hackensack is a very small city. So like everybody kind of knows everybody.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, man, shout out to them. They were, they're cool.
That's crazy, man. You got a lot of just random fucking music coincidences that happen to you.
Everyone I know musically and like even like not musical, like, you know, like PR and like agents, like it's all random.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody. Everybody that I know is off of randomness.
Yeah.
So I just credit that to being in LA because like you're always, someone always knows somebody, you're always running into somebody.
Yeah.
You know, super random.
And that's funny because I feel like usually the way that I find out about people or hear about people, I have to hear a name a certain amount of times before I actually go listen to something.
Yeah.
And now that I'm thinking about it, like I can't remember how the fuck I found out about you. Like I think like I usually have a brain trust too that I kind of like people tell me like, oh, listen to this guy or do this or whatever. I don't remember who the fuck put me onto you, so it's like hella random that I listened to your project as well. And I'm also an old like hater that I don't like anything. And I was like, oh, this is dope.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. What's growing up in Hackensack like? A safe neighborhood, like you said, suburb or what?
Yeah, it's like suburban. It's like it has hood parts.
Yeah. What kind of school did you go to growing up?
Growing up, I went to the local public schools.
Yeah.
I went to private school like my last 2 years of high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to Patterson Catholic.
Well, so when you're a kid going to public school, mostly white kids, mostly black kids, it's pretty diverse mixture.
Well, Hackensack is a very like segregated city.
Okay.
It's like the black people live here, the Spanish people live here, the white people live here.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah.
And then the high school, it's a combination because our school is it like hosts three other cities.
Yeah.
So like there's Maywood and I forgot what other city. But it's like another city that comes in to Hackensack to go to school there. So we were like, it was like three cities. So like a lot of Maywood is like very white.
Uh-huh.
So like everyone from Maywood that came from Maywood was white. And then like a lot of Hackensack was black and Spanish.
So as an elementary kid, you're around mostly black kids. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Black. Yeah. Pretty much. It's a mixed bag. But
okay.
Honestly, it's very mixed. It wasn't like... more of anything, to be honest.
Right.
It just depends on where you live. Like going to school is like a mix, but when you go home, it's like one thing.
So the neighborhood was like
My neighborhood was a Jamaican neighborhood.
Okay. Are your folks Jamaican?
Nah, they're not actually. We just happened to live there.
Yeah.
You know, like all of my childhood friends are Jamaican.
Yeah.
I basically call myself Jamaican because I grew up in their houses.
And so you grew up listening to the music, eating the food,
speaking,
experiencing the culture.
All of that.
Yeah, so you have like a mean patois or what?
A little bit. I don't like to, you know what I'm saying?
You don't want to bust it out?
Yeah, I don't want to bust
it out. I wouldn't ask you to, but I always think about that De La Soul shit. Like,
and it was funny because like when Sean Paul started getting popping, like I knew about Sean Paul years before like he got popping. You know what I'm saying? Because like, we used to like, we were like binge watching like the Jamaican dancehall DVDs and all that stuff. So I knew about Sean Paul, and then like the whole thing was like, what is he saying?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them like, how you don't understand what he's saying? Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, it's
wait,
very
so,
easy.
So when you were a kid, when Snow's Informer came out, that must have just sounded very normal to you?
It sounded like I didn't really, it wasn't a difference. It was no like separation. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just regular, like how.
That's so funny.
And then people like.
That's saying that you were up on Sean Paul early is like, that's probably how Puerto Rican fools feel about Pitbull. They're like, man, I remember Pitbull when he was underground.
He definitely was like the Pitbull of Jamaica, because it's like, he like when he first was like grinding, like everybody fucked with Sean Paul in Jamaica. But then when he got big, everybody was like, he sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you like Sean Paul, you're a Yankee, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, there's like, it was like one of those kind of things. But like, I always fucked with Sean Paul, and everybody low key fucked with Sean Paul, but they didn't want to talk about it.
Man, hey, shout out to Sean Paul.
Word. Sean Paul is the man. I love Sean Paul. I ain't really care.
So you grew up in a Jamaican neighborhood.
Right.
What'd your folks do? How'd you guys end up in that neighborhood?
I don't really know. My mom moved there when I was like 3, so I don't even really remember.
Where'd you guys move from?
Another place in Hackensack.
Oh, okay.
It was like Michael Street or something.
So you guys generations in New Jersey?
My mom and my grandmother from Patterson, New Jersey.
Okay.
That's where Fetty Wap is from.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Trap Queen.
The Trap Queen, a huge hit single right now.
It's crazy. It's blowing up. And it's funny because I see him and that's like, he's like so Patterson.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, like, you know, even how he dresses, like this kind of the stuff he says is very Patterson. But
that's interesting. So was it just you and mom in the house?
Yeah, just me and my mom. Yeah. And my two brothers, they're like much older than me.
How much older?
One is 10 years older and another one is 12. Uh-huh. So like, they were kind of out the house when I was like young.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So you like, for all intents and purposes, grew up as the only child?
Essentially, like my middle brother was in and out the house every once in a while. But for the most part, I mean,
because that's the thing is like, when you're a 10-year-old, how do you relate to a 20-year-old? That's like,
yeah, you can't. I just got beat up a lot.
That's like the uncle and shit, you know?
Yeah, that's only we related, just getting beat up. And my oldest brother was come save me.
Yeah.
That was it.
are they built like you?
My middle brother, he's not as tall. He's like 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
My oldest brother is like 6'5".
Yeah.
We're tall, but like no one's like me tall.
Yeah.
You know?
Where does that come from? Is your mom like a tall family or
my mom is kind of tall. My mom is like 5'9".
Yeah.
Almost 5'10".
Yeah.
My father was like 6'4". So kind of got it from there. My grandfather was really tall. I think he's like 6'8" or something.
Oh,
like
really?
On my mom's side.
You know what's funny? My dad's 6'7".
Really? What happened?
My mom's 5'2".
Where?
So I ended up right in the middle. I'm 6 foot even.
Your mom was your father's like in real life baby.
Yeah. No. Exactly. That's what it was. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even want to think about like how that worked. Cause she's. Yeah. Anyway. but yeah, it's funny because I'm like a giant compared to the Italian side of my family. They're all like very short and stout, and like my grandmother's 4'11".
Man, so it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Were your mom and dad together for the older brother and sister, or the older two brothers?
Yeah, I had a different father, and my oldest two brothers had the same father.
They got the same father?
That's probably where the height separation comes to play. Because I think my father, their father was tall, but like mine was like a little taller.
Yeah,
but not by much though.
So was she married to their mm-hmm. dad, and then they divorced? She meets your dad,
right? Right.
And what happened? Like that didn't work out.
Just didn't work out.
Yeah. Did you stay in touch with him?
Not really. Yeah. It was kind of like off and on. Like I talked to him a couple of times, but for the most part, it was just me and my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep in touch with him nowadays?
No, he passed away years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
everybody deals. It's funny. Like you deal with your shit that happens, and then, but as soon as you say it, people want to be like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. Like it's all good, man.
Yeah.
It's over.
Nah. Yeah. You know? Totally. Totally. How old were you when he passed away?
I just graduated high school. So like 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how does that, what's that like?
It wasn't really
were you prepared for it? Or was it out of the blue?
It was very out of the blue.
Really?
Man, this story's about to sound so sad, but it's really not.
That's fine. We like sad stories, and we also like the fact that people can move past them and do good things with their life.
Yeah, so I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And during my graduation...
Shout out to graduation. I feel like most of our guests are dropouts, to be honest.
I am a dropout, too. I dropped out of college. But in high school, I graduated high school, and then my father was supposed to come. Like, I never really had a relationship with my father.
Yeah.
But I guess he was going to come to my graduation to kind of rekindle.
Yeah.
Not rekindle because it never was a relationship, but like kind of start a relationship.
Yeah, to like establish like, hey man, I want to be in your life now.
But he didn't come. He just didn't show up.
And so like you're thinking like, oh.
I didn't know he was going to come. My mom knew he was going to come, but I didn't know.
Okay, okay.
But like a couple of days later, he died. So like he never really got to.
What happened?
He had like some heart trouble, like some like hypertension.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So the heart was, that's the out of the blue shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
when they get the cancer, you have a time, you have a chance to like process it or like maybe rekindle while they're still alive.
Yeah.
That's sad, dude. I'm sorry.
I'm sure it was, the 80s was a time.
Hell of a decade.
Hell of a decade. And I think it caught up to him, to be honest. But,
yeah. People were really out here partying in the 80s and not living a healthy lifestyle.
Hardcore. So that's probably what it was.
Yeah, totally. But
that was that. I didn't really like feel anything like when he passed away.
Right.
My mom was kind of worried. She's like, "You sure you're okay?" I'm like, "I'm good." Like,
right.
I was more depressed when Michael Jackson died, to be honest.
Really?
I didn't really know my father at all. So, like, when he died, it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of been dead. How did you know
Michael Jackson?
I don't.
His records.
I had a better idea of Michael Jackson's character and personality than my own father. You know, I knew him more. I knew Michael Jackson more than I knew my father.
That's a bummer, dude.
It is a super bummer.
Did you have other male influences in your life?
Definitely my friends' folks. They're older people. My older brother's a little bit. One of my friends, my friend Lewis, his pops.
Mm-hmm.
That's just basically my friends, man. It was rough growing up because like I had to like learn how to talk to girls by myself.
Yeah,
they basically just trial and error. It's awful.
Yeah.
And then my homie Dennis that I grew up with, he always was like kind of advanced with girls. Like while we were struggling, he was just like smooth sailing. You know what I'm saying?
Like while we were struggling, he already had four kids.
Exactly. We were all virgins. He had five kids.
Yeah.
But the thing is like his approach was so crazy. Like he'd be like, this is like a funny story. He's like, yo, man, like he'd give us the worst fucking advice ever.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yo, man, just take your dick out. Just take it out. Just see what she do with it.
I just want to say, if you're listening to this and you're a virgin, that's horrible advice. Do not listen to Dennis.
Like we're all virgins, and like he's like the only dude. Like he had a couple of chicks that he had smashed. Like and we can confirm.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was lying to us.
He had confirmed kills.
We confirmed those kills. Like we knew it. And then we was like, yo, like what do you do? He's like, yo, just take your dick out. And we're like, really? That's all you got to do? Because we didn't know any better. So we're like, okay.
It didn't work.
Like,
that seems like a terrible idea. That seems like an easy way to end up in jail.
He had the worst ideas. That was the first time I learned like what worked for one person doesn't necessarily work for someone
else. Yeah, well, and that's the thing, particularly with women. Like sometimes being like the outlandish asshole that will just whip his dick out can work in certain contexts.
It can.
For certain people.
He knew when it could work. We did it.
A cuddly motherfucker like you.
Exactly.
Like that ain't gonna
That's
work.
Not my angle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That is not my angle.
Yeah.
I'm the nice guy. You know what I'm saying?
You are. I can already tell you're a very nice person. You got a warm heart.
I try, man.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. So that means you had some positive influences in your life.
Always. For sure. Like I feel like everything is kind of positive in a way. Like even if it's negative.
Yeah. The silver linings. There you go.
Right.
So what did your mom do in Hackensack?
She actually worked for the Port Authority. She worked at the George Washington Bridge. She was a toll collector at first, and then she became like a toll supervisor.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so like I never had to pay to cross the bridge, which was a blessing to go to New York.
And
the toll is like $14 now. So like I never had to pay it. I probably still don't have to pay it.
So that's like a little minor outlier thing. Like you got to go to the city more than other kids in your neighborhood because you didn't have to pay for it.
Didn't have to pay. So anytime somebody's like, let's go to the city. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, let's take his car.
Where? I just had like, I called it the golden easy pass.
Yeah.
It was like orange, like bright orange because they're usually like purple, but like that one was like bright orange. So I take it out. It's like foil like bag and it's just like, oh.
Yeah. You would bust it out like Dennis would bust his dick out.
Exactly. This is like, oh. He got the orange easy pass.
And then there you go. Like, see, Dennis shouldn't have been like, hey, show him your dick. You should have been like, show him the easy pass.
Yo, me and Dennis had so many like fucking fucked up memories. Like, oh man, I'll tell you this one story. Like me and Dennis were like so close that we can like talk to each other without talking.
Yeah.
You know, everybody got kind of got in front like that.
Yeah.
So like we were both broke as hell. Like our parents didn't give us any money. Not that they had money to give us, but we didn't really like have much. Like I said, Dennis was always a dude with the girls.
Yeah.
And we were just like trying to, we were just struggling. So like one day, this is a MySpace era. So like I had got some girls off MySpace or something like that.
I love that there was like a MySpace era because it was such a defined moment in life. It was. Like 2004 to 2008.
MySpace was the I guess the tone setter for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely, I agree. Because
like that fucking feeling when you got like, we called it a triple double, when you got the messages, the likes, and the friend requests at the same time.
That was like word. Getting the front line into the club or something.
Exactly,
shit.
Like, that was like VIP. It was like what the? Shit. He's like, yo, bro, I got a triple double.
Yeah, that's so funny, man.
So like, I had got these girls off MySpace. So I was like, yo. I told Dennis, I was like, yo, I got these girls off MySpace, yo. They want to go on a double date. He's like, nigga, please. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got no girls. I'm like, for real? I was like, yo, really? He's like, all right, yeah, we go. So we went to like Fuddruckers. And like we got there and the girls were like, they were bad. I was like, yeah, nigga, yeah. Like he looked at me, he's like, yo, watch, how'd you do? How'd you pull this off?
Yeah.
I was like, yo, chill. I didn't want to tell him that it was MySpace. I was like, chill.
So you were like ashamed to say it was MySpace.
Not ashamed, yeah. but like.
But that wasn't a popping thing to say yet. No, like, I met him online.
It was. Yeah. It was a popping thing to say, but like I just wanted to seem like the.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, I just met him at the mall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, what's the name? So we went to the little double date, whatever, and we were dead broke. We had no date courtesy, nothing. Like, we didn't like have no money. Like, we had like maybe like $8 each.
Yeah, you're like, let's get these potato skins. Oh, girl, you got me. You got me though.
So we went there and we were starving too. Like, we were both like hungry as fuck. And I was like, so you guys gonna order? It's like, oh nah, we just ate. We just can't, you know, we just can't.
Your stomach's just rumbling. Word. They're like all loud
and
shit.
And they were just trying to cover the, like. So we're in Fuddruckers and they order the food and we're starving. And then there's like, we're done with this. Y'all want some of this? And we looked at each other. We were like, nope.
So this is lying.
It was like fries. It was mad. They basically took one bite and just left their food. So they went to the bathroom. We looked at each other again like, nigga, we hungry. Like, we ate mad food and we tried to like make it look like we didn't eat it.
Spread it out.
We like spread it out and shit. It's like the worst shit we ever did in life.
Oh, shit.
So, but yeah, man, that was
so
like,
then when did he pull his dick out?
Later that night when we invited him to the basement.
So how did it go? Were they happy with the date?
Like, we were all so young.
Did you guys pay for the fries?
We didn't pay for shit.
Oh, you got to pay for the fries.
They didn't know anything. Like, we, all four of us didn't know anything about dates. So they didn't expect us to pay. Like, we weren't good. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It was, they just wanted you to put them in their top eight.
Word.
That was top eight.
That's what all life was about at that time was top eights. And then shit really got crazy when we got top 24s.
Woo. That was when it was kind of, you kind of knew that MySpace only had a year left when they started going top 10. It's like, you guys are doing too much.
Word.
They heard the footsteps from Facebook. They're like, we better fucking make it 24 instead of 8.
Right.
What other multiples can we do? 12, not 24.
Yo, MySpace was the shit. I remember having Mike Jones as my background.
Oh, what?
Mike Jones is like my favorite rapper when he first came out.
You know, I'm scared because I topped out. Like, MySpace set the tone for social media with me in that I was like, I'm like pretty good at this social media shit. Like, I there's a bunch of people adding me on here and stuff and da-da-da-da-da. But I got to like 7,000 friends on MySpace and then MySpace kind of like, you know, jumped the shark and everybody moved on. And now I got like about 7,000 Twitter followers and I'm like, yo, man, this means Twitter is about to die because I can never top out 7,000, you know? Like, yeah, so anyways, we'll see what happens with that. So what else? In Hackensack as a kid, I hate to keep bringing up the size. It's like the elephant in the room, like no pun intended, but like, were you an athletic kid? Did you play sports and shit?
I was. I did play sports.
What were you into?
Basketball. I was a basketball player.
That seems like pretty on the nose, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, no. So like, were you a prospect as a kid or something? Or
I was all right. I kind of was a late bloomer with basketball. I started playing like I like picked up a basketball in like eighth grade.
Yeah. Were you already tall at that point?
I was tall pretty much my whole life. I was born tall. I was like 24 inches when I was born. So I was destined to be the biggest man ever.
Yeah.
But and my mom had a natural birth. Shout out to my mom. I don't know how she did that thing. She told me the story. She said she like wanted to die. She prayed for death. That's how bad it hurt.
That's crazy.
She's like, I want to die right now.
I had a giant head apparently, so they had to pull me out with forceps. Which, you know what I mean? That's like pulling out the barbecue tongs and just fucking like, it sounds like this.
Yep, it's done.
Pull it out.
It's like the fucking the turkey thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That pops out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know, I play basketball. Like that's why I eventually transferred to Patterson Catholic, because like
being the in private school.
Yeah. Being in Hackensack, like nobody really makes it in anything.
Yeah.
Like nobody really does well out of
Hackensack. Is it a shitty school district or what?
It's a good school district for like academics, but like,
were you good at academics?
I was always very advanced, but I just was infinitely uninterested in school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that's the thing, you sound well spoken, which makes me think you're probably well read, but it also makes me think maybe like you probably got bored in like basic classes.
I had like a crazy like upbringing with school, because like when I was in kindergarten, I would learn everything so fast that like the teacher would like give me the papers to grade.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She would just make me grade papers because I knew everything already.
Yeah.
So like they wanted to like skip me a couple grades, but like they said I wasn't like mature enough.
I was emotionally mature.
I was like a class clown.
No, it was the same with me. Yeah. They tried to skip me out of like second grade, and then they tried to skip me past fourth grade. But my mom also was a teacher, and so she was very much more. I think my mom was more on some like, look, school is almost more about socialization than it is about learning your fucking multiplication tables. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so she was like, nah, he's not. Plus, I was the runt of my class always. So she's like, if you skip a grade and all of a sudden you're 2 years ahead of where you're supposed to be, like, you're going to be the fucking smallest little runt kid in the whole school, you know?
Word.
But anyway.
That problem I didn't have.
Yeah, that one you wouldn't have had. Exactly. They'd be like, oh, let's just put him in high school.
Yeah, word. You'll fit right in.
Oh, he's in second grade. He's 6 foot tall. Let's put him in high school.
Word. But it's like, it was basically, you know, like, I was always advanced, like, when it came to, like, testing and stuff like that. And I was always, like, I was never a troublemaker. But I always was like the class clown. Like, I always make everybody laugh. I was always disruptive, always talking.
Yeah. And the dentist is always pulling his dick out. I'm sorry, I gotta keep going back to that. My bad.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna tell him to listen to this interview, like, when it comes out and shit.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, so like I was like always advancing shit, but like I was like, I wasn't in the cool crowd, but I was like a notch below it.
Yeah.
So like, me being in, like, in the smart classes was, like, weird to the smart kids.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what the fuck are you doing in here?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like I said, I never really liked school. I just wasn't into homework and, like, essays.
Was there kind of, like, a moment where you're like, oh, this shit is, like, school is whack. I'm, like, I'm done with it. And then what did you get into music because of that? Or, like, what? I don't know.
I was, ever since I was in school, I wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Like, I would go to school and I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it out to third grade. Like, every grade, I was like,
I don't know how I'm going to make it out to third grade. That seems like such an existential crisis for a nine-year-old to be having.
Right, I was just, I literally had those thoughts where I was like, man, like, I hate this now. Like, how am I going to get to high school?
Yeah.
Or like, every school, I had that thought, like, how am I going to get through middle school?
Yeah.
Then high school, how am I going to get through high school? Like, right. But it wasn't hard. It just was like, I just hated it so much that it just was like draining of my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, like that kind of progressed, but like how I got into music, very long story, but a quick story.
No, go tell the long story.
Okay. So the long story is, my mom, like, she worked at the Port Authority. She had to be at work at like 4:30 or like 5 o'clock in the morning. So, like, and I was the only one in the house, so, I had to walk to school by myself.
How far of a walk is that?
Maybe, like, a half a mile.
It's not, like, a dangerous walk where anybody's trying to, like, run your Jordans or nothing like that?
Nah, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, it was chill.
Hackensack wasn't like that.
All right.
It was, I had to get up in the morning, so my mom would, like, pick my clothes out.
Yeah.
And then I would get up in the morning.
That was your first problem of not pulling bitches, letting your mom pick the outfits.
I mean, I was, like, six.
Oh, okay.
You know, so,
okay.
Like, So she would get my clothes out, and then I would get up early to watch, like, I had to be at school at 8, so I would get up at, like, 6:30
yeah.
to watch, like, three things. I watch cartoons.
Yeah.
I watch and MTV.
Yeah.
Those are the only things I really care about in life. So like,
what was cracking on MTV at that time that you remember at age six?
It was no rap at all.
Yeah.
I didn't even listen to rap till I was like older. But like the first music video I ever seen in life was actually before that, I seen like Thriller.
Oh yeah.
That was the first video I seen, and it traumatized me. Cause I was like three.
You're scared of it.
I used to be afraid. I was afraid of Thriller till I was like 16. No lie. I remember one time in second grade, like it came on, like it was a Halloween party at my school, and they put Thriller on. And I cried and I ran out.
Oh man, so
it was that real for me.
Cause wow.
Because like basically, we were like a house where people, where my mom brought me to get babysat, and the kids there, like we would watch Bambi. Like I remember the whole day. That's how traumatizing it was. Like we started off, there was like a younger lady. I remember she was kind of pretty. And then there was like a grandmother, and the grandmother would feed me this oatmeal she made it with water, with no sugar, no nothing. It was just oats and water.
Yeah, she was like, this is literally just to fill your stomach up so you don't feel the hunger pangs. You're not going to enjoy this meal at all.
Exactly, and she used to like force me to eat it. Like she would like spoon feed me, and I would just like spit it. Like I hated it so much. That's why I still don't like plain oatmeal.
Yeah.
Because of that, probably.
Yeah.
Because she forced me to eat it. And then we'd all go into the living room with the younger chick, and we would watch like movies and whatever. So we watching Bambi, and we watched Bambi twice, two times in a row, because we loved it. Uh-huh. It was awesome.
Right.
So
when that mom dies though, that shit is bad.
Word. It was sad, but we just loved Bambi. We didn't know what was going on. So like we was like, let's watch Bambi again. She was like, I am not watching Bambi again. I want to watch my videos.
Uh-huh.
So she had tape. Like music videos.
Yeah.
So she puts in a video, and I think the first one was like Prince. That's probably why I love Prince.
Okay.
And then like second one was Thriller. And we bawled out. We were crying, running, screaming, trying to hide. We tried to hide in the couch.
Yeah.
We were like hiding under the couch. Like we were just like scattering like roaches when you turn the light on.
Yeah.
We were just like, it was devastating. So ever since then, I've been afraid of like, I'm over it now, but
yeah,
like when I turned 18, like, or like 16 or something like that, like I kind of like got over it. It still makes me feel uncomfortable now, but it doesn't scare me.
It still makes me feel uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable now, but it doesn't scare
like,
me.
But like, what if you watch like The Walking Dead?
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, till this day, I've never seen a Thriller video in its entirety.
Really? So it's not really like zombies that scare you, just dancing zombies.
It's just Thriller. Yeah. I was afraid of like Michael Jackson as a person.
Yeah, till I was like 10. That makes sense.
Well, yeah,
that's about the age you should have been.
Yeah, till I was like 10, and I was like, okay, Michael Jackson isn't the devil.
Yeah.
And
well, once you turn 10, that's when you're safe around him. That's a low blow. I'm sorry. You word. Know, may so, the dead rest in peace.
Word, but yeah. So fast forward to how I got into music. So the first video I've seen like that I actually like
that you liked
I liked. Was like Give It Away by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, that was a great video.
Yeah, it was the first video I seen. And I was like, I seen Flea.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Like,
right. He was a lunatic in that
word.
Video.
I was just like, so, yo, that's.
Have you ever gone back and seen, have you seen Young MC's Bust a Move video? Mm-hmm. Flea's in that. Like
really?
Being a fucking maniac. Yeah, he's got on pants that are like covered in puppet heads, I think, or something, and like and like playing bass in that video.
Word. But I
think it's that video. Hopefully if I'm wrong, someone will tweet me, but I know that he's in like a video similar to that. I'm almost positive that it's Bust a Move.
Yeah, man, but I had I just seen that and I was just like, yo, this is great. Like this whatever this is, I didn't even know it was music. I was like, yo, this is great. I love everything.
Yeah.
And then I just was watching MTV and like I really love like Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm.
Like Enter Sandman by Metallica. Like when I was like 6 or 7, yeah. I was like, this is awesome.
That's so funny because like while you were taking to all the like white rock music, mm-hmm. I was taking to all the like rap. I was taking to like all black music when I was a kid, man. I couldn't give two shits about Nirvana when I was a kid.
I love Nirvana.
Like, yeah,
everything that they did. I
do in hindsight, but I was just like, I don't know. I felt like it was so popular at that time, and I was like just a couple years too young to like really get it. And I was also like just super. I was like. Snoop Dogg over fucking
over
Nirvana for me at that time, you know.
Word. Like, yeah. I mean, I kind of got into that later, but
yeah.
And then,
but no,
like,
that's interesting that you took to like the like heavy rock.
Yeah. I still love metal. But, yeah. But I really, really, I watch Beavis and Butthead a lot.
Yeah. Same.
And there's like a lot of rock videos in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like fast forward, like I said, I was like very like a class clown in school. So like, you know, you take the recorder thing in school, like early on, and then next year, like you can choose to be in a band if you want to.
Oh, the recorder, like the fucking
like the little flute thing.
Yeah.
So we did that. I liked it. So I was like, man, I can't wait till next year to be in a band.
Yeah.
So like the teacher, she like because we had a limited amount of instruments, so like you had to have a first, second, and third choice because you know everyone can't play the drums.
Right.
So, you know, we put in our choices of like drums, trumpet, and like saxophone or something like that.
Right.
So like,
I mean, those are probably the top three of every kid's. I mean.
Right. Right. Definitely.
Those are the ones I wanted to play.
So like the next day she calls out who plays what instrument, and it's like moment of truth for everybody. We're all waiting. So I'm like.
She's like, well, you're 6'9". You get the bass drum.
Where
you gotta carry it. Yeah.
So she calls out everybody's name, and she didn't call my name. So I go up to her after class. I was like, excuse me, miss, you forgot to call my name.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't forget. I don't want you in my band.
Whoa.
I was like,
it seems racist. No, I'm just kidding.
But I was like in like fourth grade, I think.
I thought you were gonna be like. She was going to tell you, like, well, no, I didn't call you because here, I got you this NPC.
She's like, here, Jamal, I got you this.
I want you to sit in class and sample us.
Word.
No. So she tells you she doesn't want you in the band. Why?
Because like, I was just disruptive. And
oh, you had a reputation.
Yeah, she just didn't want me in the band. So I was just like, I was crying. I went home. I was like, Ma, like, she won't let me in the band, yada, yada, yada. I was like, she's like, well, I can get you. Music lessons.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, just pick an instrument and we'll get you some lessons.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. I was like, drums. She's like, no, you're not playing drums.
Not
in
at my house.
And I was like, okay, cool, trumpet. She's like, you're not playing trumpet in my house.
And you're like, steel drums, brother.
No, I'm just kidding. The marimba. I would have thought of that. That's a great thing to say after that. But
you can use that joke from now on.
So she's like, how about I get you a guitar? I'm like, okay. So she got me like a little acoustic guitar, and as we're walking back into the house with the guitar, my next door neighbor is like, oh, you got a guitar, sick. You know?
Yeah.
And they were like, yep. And then he's like, I'm a professional guitar player. So, like, it turns out that, like...
Your neighbor?
Our next door neighbor was a professional touring guitar player.
For who? Who did he tour with?
I forgot. It was so long ago. But,
the way that you... That imitation of him, though, it makes me think of, like, a stony old white dude or something.
He was like John B. But like with more energy.
Yeah, okay.
So he was a white dude.
But he had like a lineup then? Is that what you're saying? If he was like John B?
Yeah, I think he did have a lineup, actually. Yeah. But he gave me lessons, and he was like really talented. So like he could hear a song and figure out how to play it in like 10 minutes.
Right, right.
So like he was like teaching me like popular songs. I was on the radio. And I think the first song he taught me was like Carl Thomas. And I wish I never met her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he taught me how to play that shit, and I just thought I was the coolest dude ever.
Yeah.
So, I really enjoyed it a lot, but I wasn't really into, like, sitting in the house practicing guitar for an hour and reading a book and, you know, reading music. So I was like, forget this. So I kind of forgot about it.
And that's the thing. I feel like people that really take to the guitar, it's on some, like, they sit in there till their fingers bleed type of shit.
Right. I mean, when I got back into it, that's how I was.
Right, right.
But, like I was like, man, I want to play tag. I want to ride bikes, and shit like that.
So wait, so how old were you at this point? Like fifth grade,
something like that. Fifth grade, sixth grade,
something
like that. So, I kind of gave up on that, and then like later, I got really into Eminem.
Yeah,
because like he came out with a song. This is a funny story too. He came out with My Name Is.
Yeah, I remember. I have like an experience seeing that video the first time.
Yeah, I seen the video and I was like, yo, this is. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I had, you know, the funny thing is, my father had a subscription to Rolling Stone from the time I was like a child. So I grew up reading Rolling Stone magazine.
Right.
And I remember reading about, this is like kind of almost before the internet was super cracking, you know what I mean? I was like reading about Eminem in Rolling Stone about like how Dre had signed him.
Yeah.
before he even had videos out, you know? And now it's the complete opposite. Like, you hear about it on the internet, and then you see a music video, and then you read about it in Rolling Stone, like, 5 months later now. And I remember I was homesick. It was my, like, junior year of high school. I was homesick, and I used to never take sick days, but I was, like, laying on the couch watching that, and this Eminem video came out, or the My Name Is video came out, and I went, oh, my God. And the next day, I was like, yo, you guys see the Eminem video? Oh, my God, you gotta, like, watch it on MTV. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
So into it. But anyway, go ahead. Tell your story now.
It's kind of the same thing, but I seen the video. I was like, yo, this is the best thing ever. It's like this is great,
dude. His rap hands, I thought his rap hands were so interesting in that video.
I thought everything about him was just great, but that was the only song he had, and that's the only song anyone ever heard from him.
Yeah,
so I was like, ma, you got to give me the Eminem album, please give me the Eminem album,
right?
And she was like, okay, I'll get you the Eminem album. So she bought me the album, but like she like didn't give it to me right away. I guess she bought it and forgot about it.
Yeah.
She left it on top of the refrigerator, but I was tall as hell, so I could see it. So I was like, oh. I was like, Eminem. So I was like, I ripped the shit apart. I like listened to it like a bazillion times. I loved everything about it.
That's a great record.
Yeah.
To me, that's his best record still.
It definitely was.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think Marshall Mathers LP was better.
Yes. But, and you see, I don't know. Marshall Mathers LP just didn't hit me the way that one did. But also at that time I was all proud about being early on everything. And so he's already like a sellout now. Like, too many people like him. I'm done with him.
Word.
That's how I felt at that time. It was like very stupid.
I definitely fucked with Eminem from like, so like basically I heard him and I was like, okay, I want to do what he's doing. I want to be a rapper.
Yeah.
So,
so that was the guy that set it off for you.
Absolutely.
That's like, crazy.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like I grew up on like Jay-Z and all that, but like when I heard Eminem, I was like, I want to be a rapper.
You know what's funny? Similarly, like I was already like rapping as a little ass kid, but at the same time, I recognized that I was like a goofy white kid, and that was shit was like not like my, I knew that like my life meant college and get a job. And then when Eminem came out, I feel like that's what clicked in my head when I went, oh, maybe this is kind of realistic to like rap, you know what I mean? And you know, if only he had never dropped, maybe I'd be making money by now, you know?
But
anyway.
But so I started writing raps.
Yeah.
Like, but also I forgot my mom took the CD back because she heard some like bad things
about
it.
Curse words.
Yeah. She said she heard it from like people at her job that it was like very vulgar.
Yeah.
And like it wasn't suitable for children. I was very young at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she just took the CD back. But by that time, I already done.
You already memorized it probably.
I already like put it on my computer. It was, you know, I actually like built my first house computer.
You built it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, that was a long time ago.
Young MacGyver.
Yeah, like I was always into like electronics and technology and stuff. So and I'm like a very inquisitive person.
Uh-huh.
I remember I asked so many questions growing up. My mom bought me a book of answers.
Really?
She's like, stop asking me so many damn questions.
Yeah.
Like, cause she just, it was like a book of just answers. Like, why is this? Like, I was like, why is the grass green?
Yeah.
I was one of those kind of kids. So,
why is the sky blue? Why is water wet?
Right.
Why did Judas rat to Romans while Jesus?
Exactly. Yeah. Yo, and the thing is like, that's what a lot of times that's what got me in trouble with school. Cause I'd be in class and they'd be like, yeah, Christopher Columbus discovered America. I'm like, so if the Indians are here already,
right?
How did Christopher Columbus discover America?
Yeah.
And they're like, on with the lesson.
Right, because that seems like dissidence when really it's just genuine curiosity.
Yeah, I was curious. I'm like, how does that work? How do you discover it if people are already there?
Yeah, that's what's really fucked about our school system right now is like it doesn't really allow for individual thought that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the stuff that should be recognized and congratulated.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. That's why I didn't like school. It was like, I felt like it was like just robot training.
Right. Totally.
I hated school.
Totally.
But
well, how'd you learn to build your own computer?
I don't even remember, to be honest. I remember it was just like, I was just really into computers.
Yeah.
Like even at school, because like we had like the old school Macintosh.
Yeah.
At our school.
Like the colored iMac ones?
No.
Apple IIe.
Yeah. But when I was in kindergarten, we had those in the school, like with the big, huge floppy disks that come in like vinyl folders,
hell
basically.
Oh, yeah.
We had those, and like it was like games and shit.
Yeah, we were playing like Oregon Trail Carmen Sandiego.
I used to live for Oregon Trail,
dude. Me too.
I used to love it.
I became like an expert at Carmen Sandiego, dude.
Like, cause I was always into video games. Like my brothers had like an old like Nintendo.
Yeah,
that they just left. Yeah. And like I remember playing like Super Mario Bros. When I was like three.
Yeah,
and like I remember I think I beat it when I was like three. I think when that was the first game I played, I just beat it.
That's
like,
crazy.
I was like, I want to do these things forever. Like, yeah. So like when we was in school, I'm like, we're in school playing video games?
Yeah, real talk.
Like Oregon Trail.
Well, and like I said, my mom was a teacher, so I used to have to stay at the school after school. So I got in good with the computer teacher, and I was like, right. Hey, like, what's up? I'm going to be here. Like, can I just use these computers after school? They were like, yeah, go ahead.
And then computers just got lit, and then they had like Amazon Trail and like all these other crazy trails. Yeah. I just love all of them games. So like I was just into computers since I was.
So you built a PC though?
Yeah, it was a PC. Like I I didn't like build it like
right,
well.
But you like upgraded it and shit.
Yeah, like I put it together I took out the motherboard and like looked at it and like figured out how everything worked and like what pieces went in. I was the kind of kid, I just wanted to know how stuff works.
Yeah. Did you used to take stuff apart?
Yeah.
I had a friend who used to take like, he would try to take things apart and put them back together. Like take apart the phone.
I used to do stuff like that too.
Yeah. Were you into Erector sets?
Mm-mm.
Oh man, I used to fuck with Erector sets. I bet you would have liked
those.
It was kind of like Legos for smart kids because you actually had to like use nuts and bolts and screws and screwdrivers.
I think I had that before.
Shit was tight, dude.
I had some shit like that where it's like you like
it
you
came
can,
with
like,
blueprints.
Build, you can like yeah, and you can like build like cars and
a
shit.
A bunch of shit. You like that's the thing. I had like honestly, I only had one Erector set box, but it had so many different things that you could build that I never needed another one because I would just sit there and be like, okay, well I built the helicopter, now I'm gonna build the tank or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I had that. Yeah. I think my mom bought me that.
That
one
shit
time.
Was super tight because the blueprints were way harder than like normal Lego stuff.
Yeah, I never had Legos. I remember I had those, and it was like these like little straw like spiny things that you click together.
Yeah.
I used to love that. I used to build like the cars and they come with like wheels and shit.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, I was super into those.
Yeah, that shit was tight. So
now we have IKEA. So
there you go. It's the same shit.
Same shit. It
all carries over.
Right.
So yeah, you take out the motherboard and you like figure out where the RAM goes and all that.
Yeah, and then like she bought the computer and
Then you put the Eminem album on it.
Word. So I knew how to do all of that shit very young. So like it was already too late.
Yeah.
If you're reading this, it's too late. So, so I was writing down raps, and the raps were like super vulgar because I wanted to be just like Eminem. So I was like writing all these terrible like shit, and my mom found my rap book.
Yeah.
And she read through it. And she was like, Matthew, come here.
Like, she's like, why are you talking about Dennis pulling his dick out?
Yo, so she's like, what the fuck is this? Where'd you learn this from? Like, I don't know.
My friend Marshall.
Yeah, we're like Marshall. I think Marshall taught me. Yeah. No, but she threw away my rap book, and I kind of was ashamed of rapping.
Really?
After that point, like I just didn't want to do it. I just was so embarrassed about it. So. Like, fast forward, like I said, Jamaican neighborhood, we always have cookouts.
Yeah.
One of my best friends, Junior, who he had, like, a big, huge cookout every summer.
Shout out to Junior.
And, like, the way the Jamaicans work, like, especially in our area, like, if one person has a cookout, all the Jamaicans in a 15-mile radius go to that cookout.
Really?
So, like...
Because they all would have compared daggering dance moves, right?
Exactly. I knew about daggering... When I was like five, like you
that's
know,
so
it's
funny.
Very old. Because
now it's like an internet phenomenon,
right?
But like it's been around forever.
We're like fucking Pasta Pasta DVDs. Like we were all up on them shits.
Yeah.
So we had these like cookouts, and this dude that was like known, like local celebrity kind of. I wouldn't say celebrity, but he was known as the music dude.
Uh-huh.
He was like the rapper and the producer. He like made his own beats and shit. So like he was Jamaican too. So he came to our. His name was Ryan, and he came to our like the cookout, and I was like, we were like freestyle battle outside the cookout because it's like all the little kids would play with each other, and all the grown up stuff would be going on in the back, and we all be playing and shit. So we were like freestyle battle. So I was like, yo man, like, can I come to like your spot so you could like show me like how you like make music? He was like, yeah, we're come through. So like,
what were you like 13, 14, something like that?
Nah, it was much later.
Oh, okay.
But like it was like. We did that so often that like all the little kids just grew up and we just still played outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, we're still separate because we just grew up together. But I was like 16 or 17.
And so you had a car at this point and shit?
Nah, I didn't have a car until I was like, till much later.
Yeah.
Until I was like maybe
How'd you get over to the street? Just walk over?
I think so. We were all from the same place. Yeah. So we just walked over there, I think.
Yeah. And so what did he have? What did you start learning?
He had Fruity Loops.
Okay.
He would make beats on Fruity Loops, and I don't know what program he used to. It was like a bootleg program.
It's Cool Edit.
He did use Cool Edit.
I still fucking use Cool Edit.
Yo, yeah. he used Cool Edit to record, I believe.
Yeah.
So we were recorded, like that was like the like that day I made like my first like song ever.
Yeah.
Like my first song I wrote.
Did you sample something or did you use?
Actually, the song is still on MySpace somewhere.
Yeah.
It's called like "Mommy So Hot" or something like that. Yeah. And I was.
Seems weird that you write a song about your mom like that.
But it was a Rick Ross sample. It was "Mommy's so hot, damn it, she's gorgeous."
Oh, so you figured out how to sample and everything on the first day?
He did it.
He did the beat.
I didn't know anything about making beats.
Oh, okay.
I just like wrote a verse for it because essentially it was his song. He just let me get on it.
Yeah.
So we was using auto-tune because like he already had figured out how to use auto-tune and she was like very well advanced for me.
Yeah.
T-Pain was like the hottest shit ever.
Hell yeah.
So like we were super into auto-tune. So like we're like in the room and I have like headphones on and I'm like singing this part and like I sound terrible to them.
Yeah.
Like they were like crying, laughing because I sounded so bad.
But then they switch on the auto-tune.
Now this I heard auto-tune. Oh, they didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
So they hear my, because we're in a room. Yeah, like they hear my regular voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, I took my headphones, like, yeah, that shit was hot. And they're like, they're just crying, laughing. I'm like, that shit was hot. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, oh, no. Nah. And he played it. It was like, oh, damn, that shit was kind of hot.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of totally different than, like, what they heard than what I was hearing.
That's too
so
funny.
So we put that song on MySpace. It got, like, 2,000 views. We were just so, like,
you're so juiced happy. On that shit.
We were juiced.
Yeah.
So that kind of went along. And that he gave me, like, a crack version of Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
And, like, I brought it home. And, I made, like, a couple of beats. They weren't bad. But they weren't like great either, and like I listened to my like what I was hearing in my head, I couldn't make on the program because I didn't know how to use the program, and like I would call them like, "Yo, where do you put the snares?" Like I just didn't know how to do anything.
You literally called and said, "Where are my snare at?"
Exactly, I called them like, "Yo, Ryan, where are my snares at?
Where are my snare at?
Yo, Chains, where are my snares at?" But
Eminem taught you that
word. So I was like, "Man, I don't know how to use this." Just so I just got frustrated. I was like, "Fuck this shit."
Yeah.
And then like I always had the program, and then just later I was just like, actually, what made me get back into it was when I went to the private school. We had like choir. We all had to take choir, but our choir class was like a choir / like music theory.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like loved every second of that class. Like that was the only class I think two classes in that school I looked forward to. One was the choir music theory class, and then I had another class called it was probability and statistics.
Okay,
I loved that class because it just introduced me into so many new things. Like, I love learning. I just hate school.
Right.
But, and he was the kind of teacher, never assigned homework. You just went in there and he taught.
Right.
And that was it. That's what I loved. And we took tests.
Uh-huh.
I love tests and I love to learn.
You just don't like homework.
I hated homework. I hate essays. I hate research papers. I hate all that
shit.
Well,
so what's your work ethic now as a musician then?
It always was, to me, I just like, it felt like I was wasting my time.
Because really, music is all homework.
But
making music is all work
it's
at home.
Studying,
man. Yeah.
You know, I love to study.
Yeah.
Very studious. I still study, like even though I'm not in school, about like studious things.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't like the fact that I have to learn something and then do it again.
Right.
Because like, I only needed to like hear it or learn it one time and I learn it.
And then it's in the arsenal.
Yeah. So I felt like homework was a waste of time.
So you get back into making beats because you're at the Catholic school private school.
We take the music class.
And like
I said before.
And so you like open up Fruity Loops again.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It didn't transition that fast.
Yeah.
But basically I told you I was really into video games.
Right.
So Guitar Hero came out.
Yeah.
Just to kind of connect everything together. Guitar Hero came out and I just was like, yo, this game is amazing. Like all these songs, they sound so familiar. I was like, why are these songs? Like, I feel like I heard these songs before. But the same song that was on Guitar Hero were the songs I was listening to on MTV back in the day. And I just kind of forgot about
it. The Thriller came on Guitar Hero. You started crying. Like, fuck.
Throw it down. Just turn up the...
Yeah, I'm out.
But yeah, so I was like, I was so good at Guitar Hero that I was like, I could play these songs in real life.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why don't I just play them on a real guitar? And I remember I had my guitar from earlier.
Yeah.
So I go back to attic, dust it off, and I started learning. I started teaching myself all the songs that were on Guitar Hero on the real guitar.
No shit.
Like, I would just pull up the guitar tabs on, like, Google.
Yeah.
And just, I just sat there and watched YouTube videos and learned how to play guitar again.
Yeah.
But then, like, once I started playing guitar and started getting into music again, like, I was like, I still got Fruity Loops. Like, let me see what I could do. So I started making beats and I started, like, making good ones. And then I got together with, like, a rap group that we were, like, producing all our own shit and rapping all our own stuff.
What was that called?
The Supernatural Collective.
Supernatural Collective.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds very backpackery, dog.
It kind of was a little bit.
Yeah.
It kind of was
a little
bit.
That sounds like some We Were Burning Sage type shit.
Not that.
Yeah.
But we were definitely, like, it was definitely, like, some backpack shit. Like, we were trying to be, like, creative.
Yeah.
But still, like, kind of be pure to, like, the hip-hop.
How long did it last?
Maybe, like, 2 years.
Did the other guys stick with music, or they kind of, like...
Not really. Once I kind of, like, stopped, they kind of stopped.
Yeah.
I was, like, the driving force, I feel like, behind the group. Like, because I felt like they didn't really, like... They were grinding because I was grinding.
Yeah.
And they kind of just, like, ran out of answers. Like, it was like, what do we do next? And because I always knew from early that, like, you know, making music is easy to us. That's the easy part. The hard part is getting people to hear it.
And the work.
Getting it out there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, the music is almost a need. When you're a musician, it's almost like the music has to come out of you. It just has to. But then if you want people to hear it, that's when you have to do the work stuff, which is the marketing.
PR,
the connections, talking.
Right.
Like, you know, you have to, like, be a you have to, like, be a human to people. Whereas, like, the music thing is, like, very... it's a very selfish, like, need to do it almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cathartic thing.
And I felt like we were really good at it. So I'm like, yo, like, we're going to make good songs.
Yeah.
This is the easy part. Like, we got to start working on the hard part.
So you kind of also, you already felt like you were a lifer and maybe they were just kind of, like, dabbling in it.
Yeah. Like, I felt like they were just doing it because it was, like, it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was convenient because it was, like, no extra. They didn't have to really come out of their comfort zone to make music, because I was recording everybody in my mom's basement.
Yeah.
I was mixing all the records myself,
and
I was producing all the records with Josh. I was in the group too, so I just, you know, and then when I moved to LA and then I did all, and it just did less and less and less and less on their own. So
well, as your career goes on and as you keep doing it and you get older, like, you'll meet so many of those kids. Like, being that I feel like at this point I kind of feel like even if I don't make music for my whole life, I'm still like a lifer in the music shit.
Yeah.
Like, you'll meet so many people where you're like, oh, should I pay attention to this person or will they be gone in a year and a half?
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many people come and go in a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like, they'll have their little buzz, they'll be working, and then they'll go, and then they'll realize, like, oh wait, it's like a lot. It's like an actual hard work. And then they're like, never mind, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, all the hard shit, like, to me is easy.
Yeah.
Cause, like, you know, I'm 26. Like, I've, like, worked jobs my whole life.
Right.
You know, I never sold drugs or nothing. I mean,
right.
I did for a little bit, but that was just, you know.
Right.
You know, everybody does. I mean,
how, you know, sometimes you got to fucking sell a weed sack.
Where, like, you know, I was in Oklahoma. I got, like, my appendix taken out, and they gave the doctor thought I was going to be, like, an NBA player or something like that.
Yeah.
So she, like, really, like, oh, whatever you need. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, so I was like, yo, like, can I get another prescription of these painkillers?
Yeah.
And, like,
I thought you'd be like, oh, yo, can I get a hair drop? I'm like, what? What are you telling me?
I probably should. You know, I don't know. I felt very weird about the situation because, like, I got my appendix taken out, but, like,
why were you in Oklahoma? What the fuck?
For basketball.
Oh, so did you get, like, a basketball scholarship?
I did get a basketball scholarship.
Shut up.
My basketball career is so unfortunate.
Like, why? You get hurt?
I didn't get hurt at all. It just sucked. I went to Delaware State my first year. I got a scholarship to go there.
Yeah.
My mom kind of forced me to go to that school. I felt like I could have did better than Delaware State. I felt like I was a better basketball player.
That's like D2 or what?
It's D1, but it's like D1. Low D1.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like I could have did better than Delaware State.
Yeah.
And then I was like...
Were you like a star in high school or what?
I never was a star in high school.
Yeah.
I was like one of those kids that was like, man, if he get with the right guy and the right trainer, he's going to be great.
Yeah,
one of those kind of guys.
Yeah,
but I never, like, really had that guy,
right,
you know,
right,
to show me, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I was tall. I was, like, nimble for my size. Yeah. I had size. I wasn't, like, tall and skinny. So, like, you know,
yeah,
I had the potential to be good, and I had very good basketball skills, uh-huh. like naturally, you know what I'm saying? Without much effort.
So you were a blank canvas.
Right.
You just needed to find the right coach.
Yeah. And I never found the right coach. Yeah. That's why I was unfortunate.
So but, you go to Delaware State, didn't like it?
When I first went there, they redshirted me. Okay. So I sat out a year.
Yeah.
And I came to find out that I just hated the basketball program. I had the time of my life at the school, but I hated the basketball program. And at that time, my priority was going to the NBA. So I was like, I'll never make it to the NBA out of this school. I got to leave.
Right.
And I didn't want to like transfer over to another Division I school because I would have to sit out a year because of the NCAA rules.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I can't sit out for 2 years. I'll come back and I'll be some trash.
Yeah.
Like, so like, I go to junior college. I went to Oklahoma for junior college. And, you know, I'm a big dude, but I never been like a post, like back you down, dunk on you type of dude. I was like more finesse.
Yeah.
But like no one wanted me to play that way because it was all about need. Like if I'm the tallest, you're going to be the center.
Right.
I don't care what you're good at. You're going to be a center on my team.
Right.
So like that was like my situation.
I mean, realistically, 6'9 in the NBA,
not a center.
That's not a center. That's
Be, but
that's like barely a forward. Like you could be a guard at that size.
I mean,
really.
Like Kevin Durant, 6'10.
Yeah.
So, and he's a small forward.
Yeah.
LeBron, 6'9. Yeah. He's a small forward. Right. He's everything.
Right.
So, you know, I wanted to be like more versatile and be more, you know, but I guess I was like a little bit bigger. So like they didn't want to see me do that.
Yeah.
They wanted me to post somebody up and dunk on them. They wanted me to be Shaq and I couldn't, and I wasn't good at that.
To junior college in Oklahoma and you have appendix problems.
Yeah. So I go there, I'm having like, this is probably like the best year I've ever had in basketball. Like first I get there, the coach, was telling me, basically telling me all the stuff that I wanted to do anyway. He's like, yeah, because I went there for like to like work out for them. And he was like, yeah, like you really got a lot of skill here. Like you can handle the ball. You can shoot. Like, you know, I want you to play more out on the outside. I want you to do this. I'm like, oh, great. This is what I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then I get to the school. I sign a letter of intent to go to the school. And then the first week of school, he gets a job at a better school.
Oh, shit.
So, like, and the next coach comes in, he's like, you're Shaq.
Say, yeah, you're the center.
Yeah, you're the center, so you're going to be my center. Oh, so I'm like, all right, whatever. So I didn't really get to do what I wanted to do, I still had a really good year. Like, I was averaging, probably 16 points and, like, 12 rebounds or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing pretty well. And I was getting, like, offers from, like big time schools, like Big East schools and stuff like that. And then I got my appendix taken out because I had appendicitis. Uh-huh. It was a crazy story because my stomach just started hurting out of nowhere. I was like, man, like it's just got gas. I thought I had gas.
Yeah. And dude, to be honest, appendicitis is like one of my biggest fears. I still not have my appendix taken out, and I'm always like every time I get any kind of pang in my stomach, I'm like, oh shit, this is it. I gotta go get my appendix taken out.
Nah, because you don't really know that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because like I got it, I thought I had gas. It didn't hurt right away.
Yeah.
It is very uncomfortable. I was like, man, I got gas. So I tried, you know, naturally tried to shit. Nothing came out.
Yeah.
I was like, man,
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Yeah. So I was like, man, like what the fuck is wrong with me? So like, you know, I was like, man, my stomach really feels fucked up. And there's like this girl that was just hanging around. She's like, get some ginger ale. I was like, ginger ale? I was like, yo, man, this is weird. This don't feel regular. I don't know if ginger ale gonna help. She's like, get some ginger ale. Stop bitching. Like she told me, stop bitching.
Yeah.
She's like, stop bitching. Get some ginger ale. You'll be fine. I'm like, okay.
She's like, rub some Tussin on
it. She's like, I'm like, oh God. So like, I was like, man, fuck this bitch. I called my coach. I was like, yo, coach, you got to take me to the hospital because I can't even bend down and touch my toes because this shit is hurting so bad.
Yeah.
I can't move.
And he's like, that's against the NBA, the NCAA rules.
Like, I can't take you.
I can't drive you.
I'll lose my job.
He's like, I can't buy you a lift.
I'll get fired. Word, yo. That's a real problem. Like, the NCAA is the most ridiculous shit in the world. So basically, he takes me to the hospital and like my shit, I'm like dying of pain by this point. And they're like, yeah, you got to sign these papers. I was like, fuck these papers. Get me some help. So, like, I was, like, signing papers, and I'm waiting. I'm just like, oh, like, I was fucked up. So, like, they gave me, like, a CAT scan, and they made me drink this, like, battery fluid, basically, that just, I guess, coated my insides so they can, like, read it on the CAT scan. And they found out I had, like, appendicitis. It was like, man, if you would have waited any longer, your appendix would have burst. I was like, no thanks to that fucking chick that told me to fucking man up and shit. If I would have listened to her, I'd have been dead by now. But man, I would have been man up in the grave. But yeah, so like I took like, they gave me like this something. They, like, I don't know what they gave me, like, some injection.
Yeah.
And they, first they injected me with water, to, yeah. I guess, to lubricate what they were about to inject me with.
Yeah.
And it was, like, some yeah, it was terrible. So they injected me with something, and, like, it just made me just projectile vomit everywhere. And I'm just, like... I'm like laying down and I'm like going left to right, just throwing up over everything. And the nurse is like, oh my God. She's like, oh my God. Like I guess she never seen that. She's like, she told me, she's like, you may feel a little bit of warmth. You might feel a little nauseous. I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, cool. Just fix me. Yeah. And then she's like, she ejected and I was like, you feel so hot. Like, it was like a rush of heat from my head just slowly down to my toes. And it was like, I was like, and I just started throwing up everywhere.
What?
And then she's like,
I just want to say, like, you realize you've gotten into this whole fucking story because you asked the doctor for more pain pills.
Word, word.
I'm dying off of where this is gone.
Yo, man, my life is crazy. Yeah. So I go in there and I get my appendix taken out and I just thought it was like I asked her cause I never got surgery or anything, so I asked her, like, when she put the little mask over my face and she's like, I'm like, when is this anesthetic gone?
Yeah
I was just, of course, it's gone.
Yeah.
But like I woke up and all my pubes were shaved. I was like,
and I had a hickey on my dick.
So I was like, why are all my pubes shaved? There's no surgery going on down there. Like, she shaved all of my pubes off. Like, all of them. Like, I understand you got to keep the area clean. And on top of that, it was like arthroscopic surgery.
Yeah.
So the incisions weren't even like huge. So like, I'm like, why are all of my pubes shaved off? So I'm like, did I get raped during my sleep? Did I get touched? I was like, what's going on? So, cause like she kind of always is giving me the lusty eyes. I feel like in the office, she's like, so you play basketball, huh? I was like, yeah, I play basketball. And then like when I came back for a checkup, she had bought a basketball for me to sign. I was like, this is nuts. Like, what's going on?
That's a fucking hilarious.
So, you know, it got like the junior college I went to was really small. So,
wait, hold on. Let me gather myself here. No, that story is mad funny. I feel like if the rap shit don't work out, you should do stand up comedy.
Man, I kind of low key always wanted to do stand up comedy.
I've always wanted to do it as well, but just I don't have
once.
The boss.
Yeah. Just once.
Like, well, that's that first time they say is the one that gets you, because like apparently a lot of stand up comedians, they always kill their first time and then they spend the whole rest of their life just chasing that first. It's just chasing the dragon of the first fucking show. All right, dude, here's the thing. This has been hilarious, and this conversation is going amazingly, but it's already been over an hour, and we haven't really even talked. Like I said, it goes fast. We haven't even really talked about the music shit that I don't know about.
Let's get to the music, then.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I want to know, like, okay, we got past the MySpace shit. You're making your own beats. Mm-hmm. How do you start getting involved with, like, the people that you have on the last record, which is, like, you have, like, Kay Tronada. Right.
Sango. Wiki.
Yeah, Wiki.
I kind of already went over that, how I met him.
Yeah,
you went over how
you met Wiki. That's the first thing we talked about.
Yeah.
How do you, like, Kay Tronada and Sango, those are the Soul Election guys?
No, Kay Tronada's on Huh, What, and Where. And
that's a Eloquence dude, right?
Yeah.
Him and, okay, I know. I've known Eloquence through the internet for, like, forever.
Word.
Okay, so, what's Sango?
Sango's on Selection.
Selection, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, but then, well, how did, wait, you fucking produced on Shabba Ranks? How did that happen?
Yeah, I'll tell you that story real
quick. Yeah, tell me that.
So basically, I started like a production group, like just, not just music production, just art production, everything.
Right.
It's called Modern Outfit. And I got like Snugsworth to be on Modern Outfit like a year or so before Shabba happened.
Yeah.
Because essentially this artist that I'm working with now, his name is Ice Edwards. We're gonna put him out very soon, but working with him, and he had did a song with Snugsworth, and I was like, I checked him out, I was like, oh, he's tight, like, you know, like let me hit him up about see if he's down to be in Modern Outfit. He was down, and then we just were like collaborating because we both, you know, we both use Fruity Loops, so he would like Dropbox me a zip, and I'll open it up, And essentially through Dropbox, we can like live produce with each other because I would just save it into Dropbox and he would instantly see it and see where I left off.
I got to link you guys up with my producer, Mark, Equilibrium. He uses Fruity Loops too. And he's like,
Fruity Loops is great.
He's crazy at Fruity Loops. Like he learned some shit with the MPD. Like he basically did some shit with the MPD and with Fruity Loops that like neither Fruity Loops or the MPD or like neither Akai nor Fruity Loops knew that they could do it, and they're like both asking him like, how the fuck did you guys, how did you make this work?
Yeah,
you
know? Definitely gotta show me.
Yeah, I'll link you guys because I think like you Fruity word. Loops producers are like, you know, brotherhood.
We are.
Yeah.
But
proceed.
But word. So he was just sending me a couple of, you know, beats and we were working on shit, and then he sends me the Shaba, what would be the Shaba beat. And I heard the beat and I was like, yo, this shit is fucking nuts. I was like, but there was like the drums like weren't like hidden, but I could like the pattern was there. Like he had basically the, when he sent me the beat, the pattern of the drums were the same, but like just the actual drum sounds were just like not going. So and then the sample was looping a little bit weird, and like it just was, the sample itself was like very like it sounded weird. So like I like put some like effect on the sample. And then I took all the drum sounds out and put my own drum sounds in there. And then back when I was working with the Supernatural Collective, this girl that we that I had met through like a producer that we both knew, her name was Crystal Canes. And like this is, I knew Crystal Canes for mad long. So she's like, yo, like actually I seen she had produced 100 Million Roses. That was like one of Ferg's first songs he ever did. And I just was, you know, I'm like really onto the internet.
Isn't Ferg somebody's son?
Well, his father used to do like.
Oh no, his dad did the graphic design.
Yeah,
right?
for
Bad Boy.
For
and
Bad
all
Boy,
that.
Yeah.
Who? Oh, there's one. Isn't like Shaggy's son a rapper now or something?
Yeah,
or
Rob Banks.
Yeah, Rob Banks. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
So I had I see her name like produced by Crystal Canes, and I had just known her as a. Like a singer and a rapper. I was like, produced. So I called her. I'm like, you make beats? She's like, yeah. I was like, I seen you produce 100 million. She's like, yeah, it's the first beat I ever made in my life.
Wow, that's crazy.
Like, I was like, for real? And she's like, yeah. So like, you know, now that she knew, I knew she was working with Ferg and she knew that I knew. She hit me up. She was like, yo, I'm recording with Ferg. Cause she essentially like recorded everything, like all his early stuff in her bedroom. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn. Like he recorded like Work, and Shaba in her bedroom.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So like she was like, yo, Ferg's at my crib. Like send me some beats for him.
Yeah.
And like the whole time, like the Shaba beat, like first I wanted to rap on it. Then I was like, nah, it'd probably be better if somebody else rapped on it.
Right.
And then Ice wanted to rap on it and I told him no because I felt like this was a really big record.
Yeah.
And then and I don't think he was like ready.
Yeah.
Or I don't think the record would have made the same impact if he would have rapped on it. You know,
I mean, that's a very like that's a very prophetic and like that's a very mature stance to take too, because I feel like every rapper just wants to be like, this is hot, let me rap on it. Yeah, not realizing like, oh, you're like ruining this piece of music.
Right. I felt like that was a big record and I could have got that.
And it was. So you sent it to him and it's just
I sent it to Crystal.
Yeah.
I sent that with like maybe like 8 other beats, but yeah. I was like, Crystal, the beat was called Analyze. I was like, yeah. Make sure he listens to Analyze. Make sure he gets that one. She was like, all right, cool. I'm going to put it on his computer because like Ferg's not like the most tech savvy person.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to put it on his computer for him. Make sure he like, you know, make sure he listens to it. I'm like, all right, cool. But like 2 days later, she's like, yo, he recorded to it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. That's tight. But Ferg wasn't really popping.
That's the song that made him pop, kind of. Yeah.
I don't even want to say that. Cause
well,
like,
I'm not even saying that. I'm not implying, oh, it's because of you or because of the beat. But, like, that's the song for him to me. Like, that's the song that I know of his, you know?
Right. I feel the same way. But, yeah. Those guys don't feel that same. They feel the same way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they whatever. But I gave her the beat. I was like, make sure you listen to Analyze. She was like, all right, cool. So he did the song. Yeah. And then there's like, yo, he's gonna get Rocky on it. I was like, oh, tight, because Rocky was kind of popping at that time. Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's dope. And then like a little bit later, he's like, yo, they're gonna use it as a single. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then they asked me for the stems and all that stuff. I was like, oh, okay. So I gave him everything. And then like, it was supposed to be for a mixtape, but then it turned to an album.
Yeah.
And then they were like, and that's when all the paperwork shit, like.
Yeah. Did you have to lawyer up or anything?
Yeah, we did, but it was a sucky process, to be honest. It was like, I was super excited for the record, but then, like, when we had to do all that legal shit, it was like.
When it really becomes.
Yeah.
That's when it really becomes the business.
Yeah, and then, like, they knew we were, like, first-time producers, so they
probably tried to bend you over.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, this isn't an album. We didn't have a budget. You know, it's supposed to be mixtape. So I was like, okay, whatever. So, it worked out the best. I finessed that situation the best way I could.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've never been a dumb dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gave me the contract. I can read it and understand it. Like, I was basically acting as, like, the manager or, like, lawyer for Snugsworth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And essentially myself. It came to a point they were like, are you the manager or the producer? Yeah. I was like, shit, both. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Did they credit you guys, though?
Yeah, we definitely got credit.
And have people started approaching you because of that? I mean, that was a big fucking record.
Yeah, a little bit. It was mostly like people trying to, like, climb, like, trying to use us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, small-time dudes, like, yeah, I'm starting this business, you should, type thing.
Where does Marvel Alexander come from?
I've always loved Marvel, like comic books.
Yeah, same.
And, like, I used to, like, wear, like, a lot of Marvel memorabilia, like Marvel t-shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, like, some hood dudes, like, oh, look, it's Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they just call me Marvel.
What's Alexander?
Alexander's my middle name.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, so that's how you got that. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out of the way real quick.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the last project that you just did. What's it called? I keep forgetting. I've listened to it, like, 20 times, and I keep forgetting what it's called.
It's called Don't Die Yet.
Yeah, Don't Die Yet. And it's funny because when we were texting, I said, my impression of it is like, oh, it's like angry but approachable. And you're like, it's not that angry. And I don't know, maybe just the way you rap, I feel like you sound angry. And now I'm meeting you and I'm like, oh, you're like you're the not angriest person on the planet.
Yeah, it's like it comes from an angry place because it's like Don't Die Yet basically just means like, you know, don't give up on what you're, you know.
Because
like I was really depressed. I always been depressed. But like this is like encapsulizing like me being depressed and having a positive outlook on depression.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, listening to Don't Die Yet, you're a different person than I thought you would be.
Most
in real
people
life.
Say that.
And that's because it's kind of noisy. The beats are a little noisier, I feel like. I almost look at it as like an approachable. You're probably going to hate this comparison. I thought it was like an approachable version of like noise rap, like Death Grips or something.
I like Death Grips.
I don't anymore. I liked their first project.
Yeah, me too.
Now I find it so obnoxious, like, because it's all I can name seven of their publicity stunts and three of their songs, you know what I mean, and I can't stand that kind of shit.
So
I'm saying, like, it sounds like a very approachable, like, Death Grips, where it's like got more of a pop sensibility and it's not like as jarring to the ears.
Yeah.
But it's great, and I mean, it has like some throwback Public Enemy vibes, shit like that. Like, it's just got I don't know,
I mean, essentially, like, I feel like I have a lot of, like, styles as far as music goes.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I try to, like, I feel like I try to have a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah.
Because it represents what I like, and I like so many different kinds of music.
Totally.
Like, I grew up on Metallica. That's why my music sounds
the
way it does.
An edge to it.
Right. And then, like, when I got into hip-hop, the first thing I got into was Tribe Called Quest. Mm. So it was, like, Metallica, Tribe Called Quest.
And then,
that was a jump.
And Marvel Alexander's the middle ground.
I guess so. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's very noisy. Like, I like that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to Death Grips. I listen to, like, System of Down. Like, Toxicity is, like, one of my favorite albums ever.
Hey, we're, like, right over here next to Glendale, bro. That's right where they're from, I think.
It is. Yeah. So, like, I think, isn't one of the dudes from Hollywood or something like that?
Maybe.
Like, Little Armenia.
Well, I mean, they're Armenian, so, I mean, they're huge in Glendale.
Yeah.
That's very regional LA thing. Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, I like all of those things. And I feel like as an artist, you make things that you like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a true artist.
Yeah.
And, like, I like so many different things, and it kind of all come out in my music.
It's dope, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're a fucking good dude. You got a solid head on your shoulders. You're making music, and you moved out here to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking pursue that.
Right.
That's the one thing that brought you out here, or
the
what?
The only thing.
Yeah. So are you living off music? How are you surviving out here?
Man, a long story, but
All of your stories are long stories. Let's keep it 100.
Right, they're very, very long stories.
I love it. It makes my job easy. And this conversation went better than I could have ever hoped.
Word.
So I'm thankful for that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I started out when I first got here. I always loved to cook.
Yeah.
I didn't even bring that up, but I always loved to cook since I was young.
Me too, but I've never tried to get a job cooking.
Word. I mean, I didn't really think to do it either. I want to go to culinary school, but like since I play basketball,
yeah,
like you can't really play.
I'm the type of motherfucker that goes to a shitty diner so that I can watch the line cooks at the bar. Like I love watching watching little Mexican dudes cook breakfast, dog. Like Word. It's so tight the way they'll make an omelet so fast. I'm like, holy shit.
You gotta make that shit really fast.
Oh yeah. I'm good at making omelets. Like
I'm good at making those things.
Really?
Yeah,
that.
I was a cook. Like,
so where are you cooking at?
I don't do that anymore. Okay. But like when I first moved here, I was basically like just living off engineering. Like,
yeah.
I was a mix engineer.
Yeah.
So like I mix all of like Sango's, well not all of it, but a lot of Sango's stuff.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people that listen to his music would hit me up and ask me to mix their music.
Yeah.
And it just kind of built off that. And then like my friend, you know, Them Jeans, DJ?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I that was like another one of the first people I met when I moved out here.
Yeah.
And he put me on to this, they were like, oh, this place is hiring. You should like check it out because he knew I cooked and stuff and I wanted to cook.
And so then you got your job at IHOP.
Nah,
I'm fucking with you.
It was actually, you know, Roy Choi?
Yeah, the Line Hotel or what?
Yeah, I was
at Pot?
Yeah, I was a cook at Pot Commissary.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So do you know, Dumbfounded then?
I don't really know him personally.
He's probably in there all the fucking time.
I've met him a couple of times, but yeah. I don't really talk to him or nothing.
Well,
like
so the homie, I mean, those are dudes that I came up with, mm-hmm. and him and his DJ, Zoe. Zoe has a residency there, so he was like spinning at Line all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So you started cooking there?
Yeah, I started cooking there. That was my first cooking job, but I always loved cooking.
That's so crazy. And like with no formal training, they just
no
like.
No training.
So what, they just had you start chopping onions and shit and you work your way up?
Yeah, because basically, like, I went there before the restaurant opened.
Yeah.
So, like, we had training and I really, like, excelled in training.
Yeah.
Like, I outcooked everybody.
Yeah.
But so he knew, like, I could cook.
Yeah.
But, like, he couldn't really justify to Roy, like, putting me on the line.
Yeah.
The Line is like.
Wait, so Them time. Jeans cooks there too?
No, nah, he just Them Jeans is really into the culinary world.
Oh.
And he just, I guess he read it in LA Times that they were.
Oh, okay. Wait, so who are you talking about? He didn't think that it was right to put me on the line.
Oh,
just the guy who was
the chef, the executive chef. His name is Chef Tony.
Oh, okay.
And he was like the chef under Roy Choi.
Yeah. Wow.
Roy Choi didn't really cook there. He just,
right.
You know,
you're a businessman at that point.
Yeah. He came in and just tell us how that. Oh, this is good. This is on the dish. This is how I want it.
Yeah.
You know, he was there a lot during training, but once we opened, he kind of.
That's tight, man.
Yeah.
You got a lot of talents. When's your birthday? You.
November 18th.
Oh, what does that make you? Scorpio. Scorpio. Yeah.
I'm not really into horoscopes, but I know I'm Scorpio.
Low key, I date a girl that's into Scorpios. Or I mean, that sounded retarded. No, that's not what
tell
I meant.
Her I said what's up.
No. I date a girl that's into Zodiac shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I date a girl that's into Zodiac shit, and I didn't used to be big on Zodiac shit, but I gotta say, like, she's kind of been influencing me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a Cancer,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of my closest homies are like Scorpios and Tauruses and shit,
mm-hmm.
and like that's all like makes sense Zodiac wise, and that's
yeah.
probably why I enjoyed this fucking conversation so much.
Maybe. So, my best friend's a Cancer, Junior.
Yeah, no shit.
The cookout man.
There you go. Yeah. Dennis, who pulls his dick out, is probably an Aries.
He's a Sagittarius.
I don't know what that means, but no. Anyway, I gotta wrap this up just because
Word.
I feel like we'll bullshit all night if I don't.
Okay,
so
cool.
Let's tell the people where to find you online.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Marvel, like the comic books,
yeah,
and Alexander, like the great.
There you go.
No spaces. On SoundCloud, too. No spaces, no nothing. Just Marvel, Alexander,
yeah.
One word.
And Don't Die Yet is on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
It's only 2 months old at this point, right?
Yeah, and I put out another album maybe like 5 or 4 months before that called Life Before Death.
Okay.
That's on SoundCloud as like a single song,
yeah.
but it's an entire album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, man. Follow him on Twitter at Marvel Alexander. My name, of course, is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/kindaneat. YouTube.com/kindaneat, where you're going to see our man Marvel Alexander perform Dirty Thoughts. And If you're not listening to this on your iPhone, then make sure to download the podcast app on your phone. I hate to sound discriminatory to Samsungs or anything like that. If you got a Samsung, download a podcast app on there too. It doesn't have to be an iPhone. Search for Kinda Neat. Subscribe. Remember to leave a comment and a 5-star rating and all that beautiful shit. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like I said, my name is Lee. This is Marvel Alexander. And that was Kinda Neat.
Yo, thank you, man. Yo, that-